Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you. Get Goldfinger
today. Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on this program, this wonderful program, really. It's going to be just a delirious pod. Is Harsh.
Always available, baby.
It's 1:30 a.m. on a Friday night.
Listen, I'm telling you, I'm really here for this Raptors shit.
It's scary hours, man.
I feel like I would have been delirious if it was like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You know?
But that game energized you.
Bro, that shit was wild. I was talking so much shit on the timeline.
Oh my God. Yo, I called Chris Paul a banana boat deli.
Wow.
Yo, he looked like Dellavedova out there. He was just like making little dirty plays, missing jumpers.
He was bad.
Yeah, man.
He was bad.
Anyway, let's just set the stage, all right? The Toronto Raptors played host to the Houston Rockets on Friday night. Coming into this game, both teams number one seed in their conference. The Rockets were on a 17-game win streak, which is the longest win streak of the entire season. The Raptors were on a modest 6-game winning streak, although they have really won like 13 of the last 14 games, and then that one loss was at overtime in Milwaukee. So the Raptors are also on a huge streak. So this is like pretty much just a battle of giants, a potential finals matchup if we really want to go there, although I'm still not fully ready to go there. And it was the Toronto Raptors that defeated the Houston Rockets by a score of 108-105. Yet another statement win by the Raptors. And yo, just Harsh, let's just start here, right? At what point did you feel like you're going to win this game? And B, did you feel like you're going to win this game the whole time? Because I kind of felt that way, which is crazy to feel that kind of confidence about a team, that is shorthanded going up against a team that had won 17 games in a row.
Yeah, I think rationally speaking, like when they went up like 15 or whatever in the second quarter and maintained that lead into halftime, I think like you should feel relatively comfortable, like the fact that they're at home and they kind of seem to have a game plan to stop Houston shooting threes. Mm-hmm. The defense was really on point. Like I thought that a lot of stuff was lining up well. And it was like, I think we messaged each other at halftime. Like I was kind of disappointed to be up only 15.
Yep. Same.
So, I mean, that really was a testament to like how well the Raptors had played, especially mm-hmm. in the first, I would say the first, 18 minutes or so. They were like absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like, again, like I think it's one of those things like we're kind of, I don't know if it's just Raptors fans, to be honest, but it's just like in the back of your mind with a team as good as Houston, with such a quick strike offense that they have, like you're kind of always worried that they can catch up.
Here's the thing, though. I didn't actually feel that way about the Rockets. I thought we were going to win this game. Like, I mean, like it's always fun to like front, like, you know, we're not going to win and like whatever and play possum as Raptors fans are kind of used to. But like, I don't know, man. I just felt like we could take them. You know what I mean?
We did do a really good job of counterpunching every single time. Like yes. Even when they cut it down to like 5 or 6, like we'd go on a mini run to push it back up to like 10.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought we were doing a good job of counterpunching. I just thought our game plan against like the Rockets for the most part was so, so spot on.
Dwayne Casey, coach of the year.
Oh, man. Like just daring them into taking those mid-range jumpers that they would never take. Like, I guess, honestly, like we'll talk about this, but James Harden is amazing, man.
Yeah, the one guy I was afraid of was obviously was James Harden, because like we all know that he can just like generate these step back threes out of thin air. Like he'll just dribble at you for like 10 minutes and like not move and then step back and hit a three. And you can like contest a shot, but so long as you don't touch the basketball, the ball's going in the rim. It's crazy.
And even Harden like was going up, even like yeah, on the pick and roll, like the way that he like obviously we were sagging back in the paint just to, you know, because we kind of know what their shot profile looks like. So it's like if they're not going to take threes, just protect the basket. And we were kind of daring him to do it. But even then, he was getting to the basket at will. Like, I don't even know how he's doing it, to be honest. But he's just such an amazing player. Like, it almost – you almost take for granted how special he is, you know, because he kind of looks goofy with, like, his stupid beard. And, like, he doesn't have athleticism that kind of explodes off the screen or anything. Like, you just kind of take his greatness for granted, I find.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, you know, he's like very subtle in many ways. I mean, obviously he's very subtle in drawing foul calls. But in this game, it wasn't even that. I mean, Harden had 40 points. He only had 7 free throws. A couple of them were like bait fouls or whatever, but like that's honestly part of his game. It is what it is. But it's just like he's very subtle, and like if he gets a shoulder by you, if he gets a slight angle by you, like he's so strong that he'll just power off you and go to the rim. And if you do step up even like a second early, he'll throw the lob. And if you step up a second late, he'll throw the floater and he'll finish. And like Harden was just deadly all game. But I mean, let's go back to the start of the game. First off, the Raptors came out energized. We've seen a lot of times the Raptors come out slow. That's usually against like subpar competition. Like, all right, wow, it's the Detroit Pistons. Who cares? It's the Atlanta Hawks. Who cares? But if they care about these games, they come out strong. And that's what the Raptors did tonight. They went up 22 points in the first half. Off two things, like you said. One, that defense was just phenomenal. Dwayne Casey, I'm sure he went back and looked at how San Antonio guarded Houston last year, because it was the same thing, right? Like they put a guy on Harden and played him really tight, played him to go over the screen and just like, you know, fight as much as possible to deny that pull up jumper off the high screen. And then after that, they put the roll man, the guy guarding the roll man, which is usually Jonas, at right, pretty much right underneath the rim. And so if you're going to roll towards him, he doesn't. It's hard to do so because he's right there to protect. And also, if Harden is driving towards him, you know, again, JV's there to protect. And I thought this was one of JV's best defensive performances, probably the best defensive performance I've seen out of JV ever, because outside of James Harden, he was effective against Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and his, you know, dime-looking face, and, like, you know, PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza. But like just defensively, I thought the Raptors were just played a perfect style, because like you said, they were basically daring them to shoot mid-range shots and they just wouldn't do it. And then offensively, Kyle Lowry, bro, I got to take back some of the Kyle Lowry slander. If he could turn it on like this, I got to take that back.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, right? Like people talk about how when players get a little older, it's not that they can't do it at all. Mm-hmm. It's just they can do it less frequently. Like it's hard to do it on a night-to-night basis, but like, you know, Lowry's had some performances this year, like tonight's. Like today was just crazy. Like
no, tonight was the best performance of the season.
Tonight was just insane.
By Lowry. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like I thought DeRozan didn't really have it. He was still pretty good, but like Lowry was just dialed in, especially to start the game. Like he was the one he's the reason why they actually pushed that lead up to like 15 to start the game.
Yeah. I mean you know, most of the offense was like pull up threes. The Rockets were a little bit sloppy in the way they guarded Lowry, but we haven't seen a game from Lowry this year where he's been that clinical, where see he has daylight, he's going to shoot, and the jumper looks good. Like, Lowry was just on point with that. But also, like, Lowry going to the basket, like, that's something that Lowry hasn't done much this year, but he was going to the basket easily. And the Rockets do have some pretty good wing defenders. I just think that, like, the Rockets are caught off guard a little bit because, like, they were expecting, all right, all the offense is going to go through DeMar or whatever. And it just didn't really work out that way. You know, like Lowry was the one that was doing that. And also Lowry defensively, like that's when Lowry's at his best, when he can like help cause some disruptions and then push the pace and then like get a good shot in transition. Like that's when Lowry's at his absolute peak.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of a different game from the way that we normally play, in that Lowry was kind of dictating the offense to start, not necessarily DeMar. I thought it worked. The main thing I think you kind of talked about is that, like, I thought that we kind of took him by surprise. Like, I don't know if they expected, it's hard to read into this, these kind of things, but I don't know if they expected like a playoff type atmosphere. Like that was incredible. Like just to start the game, like the crowd was chanting like, let's go Raptors. Like, you know how we, yeah, at every home game, like we see that shit. Like that's what it was. I don't even know why the crowd was so fired up, but like, I don't know if the Rockets anticipated that sort of an atmosphere, but we definitely caught them napping a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And that's like, honestly, that's credit to the crowd. Like, first off, like, you know, Toronto has a bit of that late arriving problem in terms of just people getting into the game and stuff. But you could really feel like the excitement within this game led a lot of people to just make sure to get there early. Because like from the jump, it was just a daunting atmosphere to come to. You know, it's like going to Anfield. Like, it's just a fortress, you know.
Yeah. No, it's true. It definitely felt like
Anfield feel, yeah.
It was like, it's the kind of thing that the American like talking heads always like to talk about, like the Raptors home crowd. Like in reality, the Raptors home crowd isn't like that all the time, but they definitely were today. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, it had the playoff feel. And look, the Raptors went into halftime, like you said, with a 15-point lead. The Rockets, of course, responded strongly in the second half. They kind of got their stuff together, especially defensively. They really tightened up a lot of things. But also just offensively, I figured the Rockets kind of like simplify their offense even more. And a lot of that was like just like isolation, or like they were just basically, they figured out like running screens wasn't really working and playing high speed, like fast pace wasn't really working. Actually, I felt like the Raptors were way better at playing fast than the Rockets were, which is weird because the Rockets are always known as this fast team. But the Rockets kind of slowed things down. They kind of went isolation more, and their players started hitting more shots. And I'm talking more specifically about James Harden, because the fourth quarter performance he put on was just like, it was terrifying, man. Like there's a couple possessions where like Norm's like right up on him, playing great defense, Norm. And Harden still ends up with like 40 points and a whole bunch of step back jumpers, a lot of them in the fourth quarter to push that comeback.
Yeah, honestly, like, it's weird to say, because I feel like the Raptors really should have won this game by, like, 10 points. Like,
yeah.
James Harden,
I felt like we played 10 points better than them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was, like, pretty much, like, a single-handed effort on the Rockets, like, for James Harden. Like, some of those pull-up threes that he hit in the fourth quarter was just, like, come on, man. Like, the one to tie it at 102 was just, like, dude. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I just thought that the defensive game plan was so perfect. And it's like one of those things where you kind of wonder if obviously the Rockets are great, but like they got to be able to adapt. Like they got to just take what the defense is giving you, like take some of those mid range shots. Like what was Chris Paul doing? Like, why didn't he shoot?
That was strange, right? Cause the whole thing with Chris Paul is like, first off, he's one of the greatest mid range shooters ever. And I thought that, you know, like, you know, we were giving a lot of love to JV, and rightfully so. But the one thing JV really struggles with is if that guy around that screen pulls up. And Harden wasn't able to pull up because they were chasing out the three-point line. But we know Harden doesn't take mid-range shots.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is a great mid-range shooter. And when he did shoot it from the mid-range today, JV did nothing. Like, there was one play where, like, Chris Paul came around the screen in the fourth quarter. JV kind of stood in the paint and did what he was supposed to do. And Chris Paul was just like, all right, I'm going to hit this jumper. And it went in. But I just didn't understand why Chris Paul didn't do that more. I mean, the rest of the Rockets, I get it. Like, you have like Daryl Morey will like basically fine you $1,000 basically if you take a mid-range shot. But like with Chris Paul, like he should be allowed to, and he just didn't really have the impact today. I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying that this man looked like Banana Boat Dellavedova out there tonight. 14 points on 5 of 13 shooting, 0 of 3 from deep, 3 assists and 2 turnovers. Like, yo, the man got outplayed by Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, forget Lowry. Like, he got outplayed by VanVleet.
Yo, Lowry outplayed, like, it was ridiculous. It's not even close. But yo, VanVleet.
Yo, VanVleet was real nice, man. I'm actually surprised that he shot as badly as he did. He was, like, 5 for 13 today. It felt like he was, like, 7 of 9.
Yeah. I mean, he had that one layup in the fourth quarter that also rimmed out. It looked like it was definitely going in. He, like, went to the high scoop.
Over
a Palace contest, and it somehow rimmed out. But yo, can we just take a step back and think about the fact that Fred VanVleet is an undrafted senior point guard in his sophomore year, but essentially his rookie year because he didn't play much last year at all. and the man is closing the game. He's outplaying Chris Paul. He's like, remember that play he had where he like picked up Chris Paul full court? Like Chris Paul could barely get the ball past half court over the 8 second mark. In fact, I don't think he even think he did, but he did push the ball up, and then the Raptors got the steal, and the ball went the other way, and Siakam went a layup. Like, Fred VanVleet is out here shutting down Chris Paul, who is like the best point guard of his generation, and then going shot for shot with Harden in the fourth quarter. Like, what is going on?
Yo, he's going to get the bag this summer, man.
He's not getting no bag, all right? He's getting an RPM bag.
Yo, just I'm just telling you, Masai's going to reward this man. But yeah, like, especially with DeLon out, there was even more kind of ball handling load on VanVleet. So I kind of like you kind of even like sympathize with him for that, because I mean, they basically replaced DeLon with Malcolm Miller in the lineup, who was
put some respect. Shout out to some respect to Mahu Miller.
Yo, that's Humdy Miller right there.
That's
Humdy Miller, man. But yeah, like, he didn't even have like a secondary ball handler to play off of in the second unit. So
yeah, he didn't.
So I don't know, man. VanVleet, he's really out here. Like,
The thing, yo, VanVleet, like, he's the way he's able to take over for the second unit. Like, the second unit was going through a little bit of a rough stretch to like start like the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, and like the Rockets bench actually really did play some really good defense. And the Rockets, like, don't have a deep rotation. So we're talking, like, when I say the Rockets bench, I mean, like, Luke Richard and Bamute and, like, Eric Gordon and Joe Johnson with Chris Paul and Trevor Ariza. So that's two starters and three bench players. Whereas the Raptors playing their all-bench lineup. And I was getting a little bit, like, worried. I was like, yo, put in Lowry. Like, come on. Like, we just need to make sure we preserve this lead. And the Rockets did cut it to, like, 3 points or something, like 5 points maybe. And then all of a sudden the bench would come through with this like burst of their own. And a lot of that was VanVleet just going to the rim, hitting a three, playing some great defense. Like,
There was that sequence, I think it was at the end of the fourth quarter. That's the three that Harden hit actually to make it 102-102.
Yeah.
That's the one where VanVleet was like played perfect defense.
Yeah.
Like absolutely perfect. Like didn't bite on his fake, stayed with him when Harden tried to drive. And then he just hit like a complete prayer of a three-pointer. But like, you know, VanVleet's defense, I think it catches some of these guys by surprise, you know, because they're just like, who the hell is this guy? Drake lookalike. Yeah. Like, where did he come from? Like,
yo, who's sitting courtside if this is Drake on the court?
Like, yeah, exactly. They're like, where'd this guy come from? They think he's going to be a waste man, but like he can play, man. Like he's a tough defender.
Dude, he's making clutch plays for the Raptors. And like, I mean, the last game, he hit the game winner in overtime. Today, he played the entire fourth quarter. And just.
He had what, 7 points in the fourth?
He's fantastic, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, the Raptors, like, going down the stretch, it was a tight game going down the stretch, and it was very imperative for the Raptors to execute. And the Rockets are actually a pretty good defensive team this year. They have a lot of good defenders. James Harden actually played some incredible defense on DeMar DeRozan, I thought, but. The Raptors played very good offense, I thought. Like, the times where they got into trouble was when they would set a screen with Harden's man to get a switch for Harden on DeMar, and Harden was able to stop DeMar a lot. They're really familiar with each other, too. Like, they've known each other since childhood. They play in the Drew League every year, so, like, they kind of know each other's moves. So Harden kind of could anticipate a lot of what DeMar did, so that didn't really go anywhere. But aside from that, we're talking, like, VanVleet turning the corner, going to the rim, talking about Kyle Lowry driving in and feeding a little dump off to JV, who finished. We're talking about a timeout play drawn up by Dwayne Casey where he got DeMar downhill with the ball. About 6 minutes left, he goes to the rim for a key layup. We're talking about a key three from Lowry. Like, I mean, just good execution, I thought, overall from the Raptors offensively. And I thought that was enough, really, except for the fact that, you know, like we've been talking about, Harden hit all these step-back jumpers out of nowhere. But yeah, it really came down to a couple key possessions, and it was the defense that needed to come through. And again, this is where JV shined. The man got a block, and then also that key steal, where I think Harden was trying to feed it down low into Capella, and like, you know, JV broke it up, and just like JV getting boards, like JV hitting those two clutch free throws. Like, I thought JV was really vital to this game. And he earned the right to close this game. And he was closing this game out with four guards around him, and he did a great job of it.
Yeah.
Which is something you would never say about JV. Right? Like, JV defending on its own against a team that shoots a bunch of threes in the fourth quarter with a bunch of guards around him. That's never been JV's forte, and yet he comes up big with defensive plays, like big defensive plays, and two clutch free throws.
Yeah, like I think he got cooked a couple of times by Capella on those lobs, but that shit'll happen when Harden gets into
honestly, the paint. That's more on like the guard, really. Like if the guard doesn't play Harden perfectly up top, Harden's gonna get into the paint, and at that point you're screwed.
Right, because then you're basically asking Jonas to cover two people at once, and that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and those two people are Capella, who's like an incredible lob finisher, and James Harden.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I thought Jonas was awesome. Like even his offensive game, man. Like
yeah,
hitting those like little jumpers. Like there was that one jumper that he hit, because you know how Jonas, when he takes the jumper, he's usually like very. Like, he does like a pump fake. He'll wait if there's he'll see if there's space or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's this one where he just like caught the ball, turn around, like quick shot. Like he was set already. Like it was like a Serge Ibaka type shot. And I don't know. It's like a new wrinkle to his game. Like he was definitely making his presence felt. What did he have? Like four offensive rebounds?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, oh man. Like
he was bigger on the glass. And you know, he's been so much better at finishing over smaller dudes. Like no more bringing the ball down or anything. Just like staying big. Using your like hips to like sort of like step in and creating a little bit of space, and then just putting up the shot. Like he's been a lot better at doing that of late, and just pretty much all season.
The funniest possession was when DeRozan like dribbled the ball with like until there were maybe 4 seconds left on the shot clock, then kicked it into JV in the corner.
Yo, I was just gonna say these possessions of JV in the corner have to stop.
It's really.
So I know what Dwayne Casey's doing. Like he's like, I don't want the big involved at the rim, but you got to realize our players aren't getting to the rim, and so maybe we got to stop putting JV in the corner because he could be better served screening for the ball sometimes. Oh, but man. Yeah, dude, the last two times he's tried to dribble out the corner has been like hilarious turnovers.
Like another thing about this game was like you know the shot that DeRozan hit to make it 104-102.
Yeah, that was tough.
That was
stupid tough, man.
I was screaming. I was losing my mind. Like, and then he hit it. So then you're like, all right, well, I guess
Kobe.
Yeah, it was legit Kobe. But then again, you can't be too mad because like James Harden was hitting like unconscious threes too. So whatever.
Yeah, it's not like the Rockets were running some fantastic offense with anything. Like
exactly, they weren't doing shit. Like they were legit could not get shit on us. So whatever.
But yeah, in the end, the Raptors, you know, got the stops when they needed to, and they got the win. Three stars. I think we can both agree Lowry's number one star, JB's number two star.
Yeah, that's fair.
Who are you getting that third star to?
I think you still got to go DeRozan.
Don't go DeRozan? You're not going with Van Vliet? You're not getting the hype?
Nah, I mean, Van Vliet had a nice, like, 5-minute stretch in the fourth quarter, but, like, it's still DeRozan on the whole.
We're really gassing up Van Vliet.
Yeah.
The man deserves it. He deserves it.
No, he has no money, so he can get these compliments.
Straight up, man. Support his Etsy site, all
right? Yo, please, a Shopify.
Yo, I know I put out a tweet that showed like a screen cap of after the Pistons game of me buying all this FBV gear. I did not do that. All right, I have less money than FBV, so...
Yo, listen. You know how like
I might buy a bracelet, a $5 bracelet, which I'm tight about. But you know what? If that helps reduce the Raptor salary figure, I'll do it.
Yo, you know I'll how Complex it. Has those Complex has those like segments where they take like a celebrity to go buy shoes.
Yeah,
Drake needs to do that, except on Fred VanVleet's site. Like, just buy all this shit, please.
It's Drake and Joe LaPuma.
Yeah, just like
looking up his website. He's like, "Yo, this sweater's sick, man. It's got the same this gray one's the same as this black one, and they both say bet on yourself 619 Rockford."
Yeah, I'm telling
number 23.
You. There's a Yu-Gi-Oh logo right there. Like,
yo, shout out to our guy Shankar for giving us the tip that the Millennium Puzzle Chain is not for sale yet.
Wow,
he ain't trying to give it up.
Fred VanVleet is really out here building his brand, man. I'm telling you, this guy is That minimum salary, bro, that'll get you grinding like nothing else.
He's not trying to have a whole team of Yugi Motos out
Oh my God. But yeah, third star,
here.
I'm
The
gonna
other
get to
guy,
DeRozan.
Pereira?
Sorry, what'd you
What?
say?
No, the other guy from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh my God.
The guy that used the final board?
I don't know what you're talking.
What are you talking about? The guy with the white hair.
Is that Weevil?
Couture. No,
Pegasus?
not Weevil. No, man. Forget it. Forget it. Asad will tell us when he listens to this pod.
Yeah,
He'll DM us.
he's gonna get mad at me for the references I made, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's give it to the roads. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, who are you giving that to? That one's tough.
I don't know. They were all shit.
I was gonna say, right? Everyone kind of played. You know what? I'll give it to Trevor Ariza. He had some tough finishes over JV. I thought
Yeah.
JV went pretty good around the rim, and then Ariza had some tough, really tough finishes.
Yeah, they were
I
all
mean, it's only
trash.
13 points, but whatever. Yeah,
Listen,
it was just Harden.
PJ Tucker and Chris Paul, all they did today was practice Greco-Roman wrestling. That's all they did today.
Yo, they were playing a different sport, man. I
Yo.
mean, I know I love PJ. I love Uncle PJ, but watching him play against us, I'm like, yo, what are you even saying, man? That's not even the same sport. That looks like when I play basketball. I'm just like, I know I'm a bum. I know I'm a scrub, like whatever. I'm just gonna come in here, hard foul some dudes, talk trash for no reason that I can't even personally back up. Someone on my team's gotta back that up for me, like Dan Reynolds gotta hit a shot. But like, you know, like I'm just gonna be out here to muck the game up. And
Yo,
that's
they
PJ
had
Tucker.
13 personal fouls called on them all game. Excuse me?
Wild,
What?
yo. That's wild, man. Because all they were doing was hand checking. Like, if you go through this game and watch the highlights, the Raptors actually played really well, despite the fact that the Rockets kind of had like one hand, two hands on them. Like, yo, the Rockets, even when they played offense, they had hands on us, man. They like the James Harden would like pull someone's arm towards him, and then he will like release the arm, and it'll look like someone hit him. I'm like, yo,
You remember
that's
that
not
one?
basketball.
Remember
That's
that
not
one?
basketball.
Remember that one
Yeah.
play where Jonas got surrounded by like three guys and like lost the ball?
Yes,
I'm like,
yo,
how
he's
is
like, how did you think he lost the ball? Do you think it's because? Did you see like if it's gonna be like on those last 2 minute reports? Like sometimes they'll just like put incorrect, but sometimes they'll say like observable on enhanced camera because
Yeah.
like sometimes you can't see, right? And sometimes I swear to God, we're gonna see the last 2 minute report and it's gonna say observable under enhanced camera. TJ Tucker shanked JV for a rebound and during that one scrum at the end because like. Bro, that ball was loose for like 10 seconds, and like all PJ was doing was like swimming in bodies trying to get to that ball.
Honestly,
I hate watching that, man.
PJ Tucker had him in like a triangle choke, man. PJ Tucker was running Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like that's what Nene is teaching him, man.
That's when. Yo, how is Nene still in the league? Nene, you're older than Ibaka, man. Get out of here.
Nene legit has gray hair. Like his hair is just gray.
Nene came in for 4 minutes, shot 0-3, and dipped.
He was the anti-Gerald Henderson.
Yes, he was what Gerald Henderson is for everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. He was a real life Gerald Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Harsh. You're a
Yo.
real one for doing this podcast.
Yo, Raptors 48-17, 60-win season coming.
So we got to go 12-5 the rest of the way.
Do you want them to get 60 wins?
Hell yeah. Why? What do you mean?
Don't
Why
you
would you
like
not want them to get 60 wins?
I just feel like it kind of puts the target back on them again. You know what I mean?
The target's gonna be on them, man. The target's gonna be on them. Like they're gonna be the number one seed. Like,
Yo, if they play a game one like today, man, I need that shit. Please don't mail it in game one.
dog. All right, I'm gonna be ashamed to admit this. All right, so I've been playing NBA Live
Come on.
because it was like $5 on PlayStation Plus,
Come on.
and like. Ordinarily, I'm a 2K guy, but like it was $5. So I
Okay.
made like a My Player campaign, whatever. He's the best Asian to ever play basketball. Sorry, Yao Ming. All right. The sliders are pretty low, too. I'm not very good at these games. I finally get to the playoffs. I had like a 20 game winning streak coming into this game. I played the Knicks in game one, and somehow I scored like 49 points, and we still lost by two. All right.
Come
Even in a
on.
video game, the Raptors can't even win game one. And I didn't even want to reset the game because I was pretty happy to score 49. I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, man. So it's a real curse. It's a real curse. It's been programmed.
It's all good, man. The Raptors, they swept the Houston Rockets. Just remember that.
This is yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Rockets regressed. That's going to be the title of this podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey. Eat that.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I as much as I love being petty, all Daryl Morey was trying to say is that there is an effect of, like, when teams get hot, then people write about them being real, and inevitably they're never going to be as good as when they're hot, and so they regress. And so there's usually, like, a weird bump that happens downwards after you write about a team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, dude, you can't just say regression as if the Raptors are fucking regressing because they lost to the Pacers. All right? We ain't regressing to shit. All we did was regress to the mean, our true average, all right, which is a 75% win team. Because that's what we are right now. That's wild, man. That's wild. I feel like we're the Spurs or something. This is weird. Malcolm Miller. Dude, can we just talk about the fact that Malcolm Miller came in for 10 minutes and went 3-of-3 with a 3 for 7 points? What?
I think
Who is he?
I think, like, Joe Wolfson was tweeting how I think he went on a 7-2 run by himself in the second quarter.
Bro, he was hitting a 3. He was cutting to the rim. Like, yo. This is just a guy that we got off the street, all right? He's playing for, like, the main Red Claws last year.
Bro, Anthony, this guy Bennett went to Holy Cross for college.
Bro, no, he didn't, man.
Holy Cross hasn't been good since Bob Cousy went there, all right?
He went to Scarlet Heights for high school, all right?
He went to Seneca, let's be honest.
Besides, I'm playing intramural ball at York University. He's like, yo, I need that.
This man is from Sheridan, Oakville.
All right.
Shout out to Malcolm Miller, man.
What a win. What a fucking win.
What a great win.
Yeah. All right. Follow Harsh on Twitter at @IamHarshTheBay. Hopefully Harsh will chill with the Kyle Lowry tweets, but to be honest, that's part of the charm.
Is it? Really. I guess it is. I'll take it.
No, it's part of the charm, man. It's part of the charm. Shout out to Seared.
Oh, boy.
A real one, really.
Really a real one, yeah.
Very, very real. And yeah. Thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. 10 things will drop soon. If you're still up at 2 a.m. listening to this stuff, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because there's a lot of y'all there, but the 10 things will drop a little bit later than usual. Like, I'm talking like 2:30, but like, it'll drop, all right? It'll be out there. And thank you to everyone for listening. Thanks to everyone for supporting the Patreon. Thanks to Harsh for coming on the podcast. And we'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Knicks game. It's going to be a letdown. It's going to be a letdown. Yo, it's 1 p.m. on a Sunday at MSG. That's going to be tough.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we have, trust me, man. We're feeling all good after all these wins.
They got to get the partying out today. They just got to get it out of their system.
Whatever, man. Go to Brass Rail with James Harden. All right, peace.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
The available AKG 36 speaker sound system in the Cadillac Escalade provides 360-degree sound, so you hear studio sound on the road. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.